Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join My Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is Jack's Journal, an in-depth look at issues that affect you and your community.
Welcome to another episode of Jack's Journal, brought to you by 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. I'm your host, Shefalika Botnager, and today we're discussing a favorite topic in Northeast Florida, the beach, and how to take care of them. I'm honored to introduce my guest today, Damon Douglas, St. Johns County's Coastal Manager. How are you doing today, Damon?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for coming on the show today. We have some new construction starting, I believe. As far as the FEMA Dune Enhancement Project and the St. Johns County Coastal Projects, what is the partnership here and the relation that you guys have built on this ongoing endeavor?
Sure. So we experienced damage to our beaches. We worked with the state of Florida's Department of Emergency Management and the Federal Emergency Management Administration to get grant projects approved. It's a long process that requires environmental assessments and a great deal of planning and various levels of approval. And last year, we were able to get all of that in place and hire a contractor to come and repair some damage and enhance the thickness and durability of the dune system through almost 11 miles of St. Johns County's 42 miles of beaches. So that's a project where sand is hauled by truck from Upland Mines and placed on the beach. There's a great deal of coordination with not only the Florida Department of Emergency Management and FEMA for the funding components, but we also have to coordinate with the Florida Department of Environmental Protection and the Florida Wildlife Commission to make sure that we are doing all of the work properly so that it will not damage the environment, including the habitat of some endangered species.
I see.
As far as other coastal projects, we just wrapped up a project that dredged sand from approximately 5 miles offshore in South Ponte Vedra, and they call them a hopper dredge, but it's a boat that would fill its hold with sand, sail to about a quarter mile offshore, and then pump that sand onto the beach. And that was a more robust project that created a dune and extended the width of the beach, the towel space, if you would, for about 5.5 miles of coastline in South Ponte Vedra. And that project went on from April through the beginning of June. We also, the year before, with our partners at the Jacksonville District of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, they have added a new project in Volano Beach, whose construction went on and was completed in January 2021. And that project and our other Army Corps project at the St. Augustine Beach around the St. Johns County Fishing Pier was damaged in a nor'easter that we had. And they have worked approval through their system in order to come back and repair that project in Volano and in St. Augustine Beach at no cost to St. Johns County. So they are in the permitting and planning phase right now, and those are the next two big projects that we should see sometime late summer 2023. There's 3.5 miles in Volano and South Ponte Vedra, and approximately 3.5 miles in St. Augustine Beach, including the southern portion of Anastasia State Park.
Oh my goodness. Wow. That is sounds like a lot of work that you guys are putting together. So far, I'm looking at your website here at the St. Johns County Coastal Projects. It says that the 11.5 miles you mentioned of existing dunes will be enhanced at this time with nearly, looks like, 480,000 cubic yards of sand. Tell me again where the sand is being sourced, and also a little bit more about the dune vegetation, such as like sea oats or any other strong species that can retain the barriers of the sand dunes.
Sure. So for that project, there are mines in Keystone Heights that are supplying the beach quality sand. The sand has been very clean. It's a good color. Even the color of sand is tightly regulated through the permits. Something that I had learned working with this program is that the color of sand can affect the temperature of the sand, which can affect the sex of the turtles as they hatch. The different temperature of sand surrounding the egg clutches can help determine the gender of the turtles as they emerge. So the sand has been great. It's trucked over from Keystone Heights. And once the sand is in place, and it's been looking very good on the beach, the work that they're doing to shape the dunes, it has a gentle foreslope that follows the guidelines that so that we know that a nesting turtle could climb up the slope and hatchlings could climb down the slope. Once the sand is in place, the heavy construction machinery moves a little ways down the beach. Then a subcontractor comes in and plants the crest and some of the foreslope of the dune with sea oats. The other species of plants will fill in around the sea oats as they begin to develop, but with the permitting and the approval work coming up, it was sea oats only that was approved for this particular project. Other projects, we've done a blend of various species, say railroad vine, bitter panic grass, dune daisies that work together to help establish the dunes. But this is a much smaller type of basically enhancing the existing dunes. So it's just a sea oat planting.
I see.
And it's, I believe we're planting around 1.5 million sea oat plants throughout the whole 11.5 miles.
My goodness. All right. Well, I think that's really interesting, and I appreciate the extra details about the turtles and the color of sand. I think that's an important aspect to the environmental regulation and also the habitat that we want to sustain and maintain during this enhancement, as you call it. You mentioned that they're kind of working north. They're going to come down south to Meikler's Landing. How much area is expected to be, or hopefully, how much area is expected to be renovated? Is it about a mile, or is it less than?
It's less than a mile. They have been finishing, and it really depends upon the quantity of sand that comes in from the mines and the number of hours they're able to work per day. But a rough estimate of their average completion rate on the beach is about 350 feet a day.
Okay, interesting. And as far as how this construction zones and this effort will affect the residents in the area, are these sand dunes, A, going to block any resident view of the beach? And B, is there going to be any major traffic backups in the area? And are there any areas that are unsafe for pedestrians?
Sure. So The dunes are not allowed to be constructed any higher than the existing dunes. So they should not be obstructing any views. B, the, and I'm sorry,
it's all right.
Can you give me the B and C again? I know there was traffic.
Yeah, traffic is number two as far as like, with the heavy construction equipment and machinery in the area. What will traffic patterns be like? How will they be affected for people who are commuting to and from work or going to school in that area? How will the traffic be affected? And then number two, how will pedestrians be rerouted in order to take safe paths around the construction areas?
Sure. So this project has been ongoing in this area for at least 6 months now. So it will be as it has been in the past few months. There are trucks that are coming in from Keystone Heights, and they stage sand at Cornerstone Park on A1A near the Ponte Vedra Concert Hall. And then there are trucks that transport the sand from that location into the staging area, which is a lot on Ponte Vedra Boulevard. So there, you will see some traffic going by the entryway to Michler's Landing and along Ponte Vedra Boulevard. They keep those, monitor those trucks to try and help minimize the impact on traffic. And as far as pedestrians, there will be staff on site from the contractor, and the contractor has hired some public service off-duty sheriff's officers to be on the beach to try and help to guide the pedestrians away from the active construction area. So they'll be working on the north side of the pedestrian access, so pedestrian traffic will be diverted to the south for their recreation use. And they will, you know, as we're saying, they'll be able to move hopefully at least 350 feet a day. So within a couple of days, there will be a buffer away from the Michler's Landing area, and they'll just keep moving further away and be new sand dune there in the area that people will be able to recreate on.
Mm-hmm. So as far as the origin of this beach construction and enhancement project for the sand dunes, FEMA is obviously involved in this project. So that says to me that there must have been some emergency need to some degree regarding rebuilding these sand dunes. What qualifies this 11 and a half miles of beaches here to need a FEMA project? And also, how long do you expect the current sand dunes and efforts that you're rebuilding to last into the future, depending on storms, of course?
Sure. So there is a very technical formula that is applied to determine if there is a need for these emergency repairs to a beach. They have to do with the amount of protection that is afforded before a storm and then after a declared disaster, and the amount of sand that it would take to restore a certain level of protection to those damaged dunes. And it has to do with the still water elevation of the ocean, and what the prediction is for a 5-year storm. So not only some of the infrastructure, you know, we think of houses, but also some of the built infrastructure like walkovers and that type of things, and the actual habitat in the dunes. And I said it's a very, very technical calculation, and we have we hire in experts to help to come up with that determination. It's a a group of PhDs working together.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'm glad they get to figure it out and we don't have to.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, it is fascinating. I will say that I'm relatively new to Florida, so I'm still learning much about beaches and whatnot, but I am interested in the ecosystem and the environmental aspect of rebuilding sand dunes. As far as the longevity of this kind of project, by adding 480,000 cubic yards of sand, do we expect that roughly to last the next two or three hurricane seasons or 10 years? You know, is there a range?
So it's really the equivalent of a five-year storm in a very, very generic and general calculation. So a five-year storm is a storm that is estimated to be experienced with a frequency of every 5 years. And that has absolutely nothing to do with the actual time in between a storm. You can have 3 5-year storms in a 6-month period. But they rank storms, you know, and like we've heard of like the 100-year storm or a 500-year storm. So this is a 5-year storm. So could the sand last 5 years? Possibly. It could last a matter of a few months. You know, we could have a really solid nor'easter, and the sand could be washed away. So there's a lot to trying to predict how long any sand project will last. But the sand is intended to be sacrificial. So that it can protect the dunes that are there now. This new sand would go away first and give that sand and that habitat a better chance of surviving a storm, as well as any of the, you know, infrastructure in the dunes, and of course the houses and roads and other infrastructure behind the dunes. So it is an enhancement. That's kind of why we chose that name. It's not foolproof. It's not that there will never be any storm damage, but it is an added layer of protection.
Wow, that was a fantastic answer. I really appreciate you explaining that. And I think that it is particularly interesting that it's designed to somewhat be sacrificial, as you mentioned, and that there is a deeper level of protection. It's just an added layer, essentially, to withstand these heavy storms. By replanting species like sea oats, can you tell me a little bit about why those are special and important when it comes to the sand dune structure and longevity?
Sure. One of the most important contributions that sea oats make to sand dunes is that they catch sand. They help sand dunes to grow. As the wind is blowing across the beach towards the dunes, it picks up sand, and that will hit the leaves of the sea oats, and the grains of sand will deposit. We're talking about grains of sand here, so it's a very slow process, but that's how sand dunes are formed in a natural environment without intervention of mechanically placing sand or sand fencing or other interventions, is that the sea oats catch the sand from the wind and help to make the sand dunes bigger, taller, thicker, and that type of thing. They also have a large root structure, which does help to hold the sand in place. Large enough storm will, take out even very well-established dunes with established vegetation, but dunes with sea oats and established vegetation are more durable in storm situations than dunes without it. So they are fast growing, but it takes some time for sea oats to plant. So, we may get lucky and have, several more years without any really, really bad storms that those sea oats could take hold, and that would, make the protection from this project even greater.
I see. So is that one thing you would recommend for the community to know after the sands have been placed and the plants have been laid? Tell the community a little bit about what they need to do to help sustain this protection measure and what's safe for them to do in and around these sand dunes.
Sure. So the public should avoid going into the sand dunes. Really, the flat part of the beach in front of the sand dunes is the area that's appropriate for recreation, where there is not vegetation established. When we plant these dunes, they have a slope and then a wide flat top, and it looks like an amazing place to just come and set up a tent. But it is not appropriate to be climbing up and down the slope of the dunes and trampling on the newly planted sea oats. The sea oats are very small when they're planted. They may only be sticking up out of the ground 6 inches or a foot. And sometimes it's hard to tell that that's a sea oat. But it's important to, whenever possible, stay out of the dunes. Property owners are, of course, allowed to traverse the dunes to get from their property to the beach. If they don't have an established walkover built, it's best practice for them to pick a path and stick to that path as much as possible to reduce the impacts. But it's really important, as these new dunes are put in place, that the public cooperate and not trample on these dunes. As enticing as that elevated pile of uniformly colored sand is to get up there and play and slide down the slope, that's really not what they're there for. And if we can all work together, these dunes will last better and really help to maintain the beach space.
Well, I really appreciated you coming on Jack's Journal today, Damon. I hope you've enjoyed your time here with me today.
It was wonderful. Thank you for the opportunity to communicate about the wonderful happenings in our beach management program.
No problem. Thanks for letting our community know exactly what to expect coming up throughout these efforts to rebuild the sand dunes and to fortify them and make them stronger, not only for our environment, but for the little sea turtles and just for the natural beauty of Florida's landscape. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that was Damon Douglas, St. Johns County's coastal manager, here on Jack's Journal. Thank you for listening to Jack's Journal, brought to you by 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's news and talk radio. I'm your host, Shefalika Botnagar, and we'll be back next weekend for another episode of Jack's Journal.
You've been listening to Jack's Journal, a production of News 104.5 WOKV.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join My Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.